Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both.
What's up, baby?
Welcome to the podcast called Will Carrie Survive the Podcast.
You say that every time.
You're mean.
And apparently you keep surviving.
I don't know. Your hopes and dreams have not happened yet.
No, but I've been watching them serial killer shows lately.
I'm getting nervous.
Well, it probably doesn't help that I watch them in bed when we're going to sleep.
It's like every night he puts a laptop on his lap and he reclines back and he starts loving on the dog. And then we hear the BTK serial killer, blah, blah, blah.
Does my breathing get heavier as I watch?
So creepy.
I'm just teasing.
And I always fall asleep while you're watching, so I always go to bed listening to the stories yeah. of serial killers.
Easy prey, baby. I mean,
no,
you haven't been having bad dreams, have you?
No, because I am apparently weird. Anyways, speaking of weird.
I wouldn't even phase you, baby. You like them handcuffs and stuff anyways.
I don't know why you have to lie like that. If my mom were still alive, and I'm not going to say I condone violence, but she would smack you upside the Monday or something.
She probably would.
Like, she'd be so mad at you.
And then she'd go to her bedroom and come back and be like, here, baby, try these fur-lined ones.
No, they're she would not. No,
come on.
I come from a long line of New England repression. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what happens when people are repressed?
We do it a lot.
Yeah.
That's why we have big families in New Hampshire. So anyways.
Yeah. I'm trying not to squeak.
You guess stop moving in that chair, babe.
I'm trying not to.
I'm going
to
make you stand up
for
the podcast.
But I do
got
to breathe.
No.
Okay, I got two stories to tell you after the podcast, remember.
Okay.
They're both about my meeting last night.
All right. So anyways, here's the random thought. Not about Shawnee's meeting and breathing, but about Tinder, which I'm sure Sean will be on soon after he does the serial killer thing on me.
I got to look for more. What am I going to call them? Nobody calls them victims. They're
wives.
Always like targets, projects. BTK Kelly called them projects.
That's so creepy.
I'm going to call them.
You're not going to call them anything.
Inspirations.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound nice?
You're so creepy.
That's going to be the name of my book.
You know, this podcast is the reason why neither of us can run for office.
Why?
Because this podcast is the reason why neither of us could ever have rather.
It's fine.
Okay, so this woman, apparently, according to NDTV, and a story, I don't know, it's from India, I guess.
Oh.
Apparently, this lady thought she was going on a date to Hawaii, all the way in Hawaii. She was not from
India?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
She wasn't from Hawaii. And so she met this guy on Tinder.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, let's go to Hawaii. Right? So she goes to the big island. She matches. Oh, wait. Maybe she matches him. She goes to Hawaii.
She does match him.
She meets him in Hawaii being a Tinder match. His name is Jerry. They meet downtown. And she's like instantly, quote, instantly charmed by his drawl and friendly manner. Drawl.
Yeah.
So you're Southern. The conversation flowed, and we quickly discerned that we had similar tastes in music, ways of travel, and a shared love for working the glutes.
You know what that means?
But.
Sex. Anyways.
Oh. I thought it just meant that they
like, I don't know what it means.
Squats.
I just made that up. Maybe right. they do.
So anyway.
I mean, he's probably super hot because his name's Jerry. No offense to any Jerrys out there, but.
Do you think it was his real name?
Huh?
Do you think that was his real name?
I don't know, but it's like, I'm not slinging Jerry across Tinder as my
pickup name. All right. So anyways, she's like, hey man, I rented this red Mustang convertible for my trip. And he's like, cool. And they drove around to, quote, unassuming locations.
What does that even mean?
I mean, it's boring places, I guess. Or locations that just didn't assume anything about them. So then she told, quote, Mr. Jerry a lot of things she wanted to do in Hawaii. And they just decided to start with the easiest and closest activity on the list, end quote.
Yeah.
So they went to this trail, right?
Yeah.
And it's shielded and shaded by this lush jungle, right?
Yeah.
But they're still super hot. And so they, like, she goes, after pumping the leg muscles, the beach called, and we soon headed to La Ola Bay Beach, known locally as Magic Sands, for its shifting seashore to wash off the sweat. So then, like, they're having this great time, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, let's do something else. And so they meet at her accommodations, but she's like, eh, something seems wrong with this guy now. So she's trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And, quote, hope to turn that frown upside down. After all, we were about to go on an almost 3-hour road trip to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, a park with two of the world's most active volcanoes, right?
Yeah.
So she's trying to make him, like, not be a moody jerk, right?
Yeah.
But he's, like, not friendly, not cool. And they get there, right? And she's all ready to hike. And he's like, I want to go back. I'm going to work out my own way back.
What?
Yeah, and she's like, what? We just got there. And he's like, I'm going to hitchhike back to town. And so he dumped her at a volcano.
By hitchhiking?
Yeah. That's, like, amazing. And so now she's really sad. Because she's like, what was it about me that he suddenly decided not to like? I think
Probably nothing.
No offense to this lady who I shall not name. But maybe they did. We have a friend who told us a story about a guy, and I'm doing a little bit of upspeak. I'm so sorry. Stop. Okay, so we have
Are you talking to yourself right now?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
So we have a friend.
Let's capture this moment. No. I want everybody listening to realize that Carrie just told herself to stop thinking her line of thought.
No, I was. Yeah, it was my uptick. I was trying to not talk that way.
Oh, okay.
I was telling myself to stop. We have a friend. Who?
Yeah.
Basically, did it with a guy.
Yeah.
And the moment she did it with a guy, he stopped being nice.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know if this lady.
Oh, yeah, we don't
did
know
it
that.
At the accommodation, but.
Oh, but even in her storytelling, she's making, like.
Do you think that's real? Do you think it's AI?
I think her storytelling reads. Yeah, I don't know, because I don't think I've ever read a human written story where the woman makes it sound like she obviously wants to get laid by the end of the day.
That could just be our interpretation.
It might be mine, but if you said ours, that means you got that feeling too.
I did, but
you don't think like me.
No, I don't think. God, I don't think like you.
I mean, she's talking about glutes and sweat and all this
leg workout.
Stuff. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It just seems.
Maybe she was just too much for him.
Maybe. But all right, if it's a
like
real
in the
story,
bedroom, I mean.
If it's a real story, I totally feel for her. Because that's dumb for him to do.
Oh, yeah. You could just fake it until you get back to town.
I mean, it's
like,
not. She's on vacation. It's not like you're going to be with her the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah, and so what you're saying is just bang her as much as possible
no.
and then head home.
Also, I don't think you should go on the 3-hour car ride and then ditch at your point of destination.
But, you know, I think we're kind of forgetting a little bit of the package here.
What's that?
Well, that they met on Tinder and she's obviously not from Hawaii and had to go probably through a lot of trouble to get there.
Yeah.
And probably some expense.
Yeah.
And he might have as well. We don't know where he's from, right?
Yeah, we don't know anything about Jerry.
Yeah. So.
Jerry.
I don't know. Maybe Jerry is from there. Maybe Jerry lives there and tries to hook these women to come. Maybe he's a serial killer.
Maybe. Maybe he decided it wasn't worth it.
Maybe he decided he was a little scared of her. Because of her glute working.
Yeah, maybe he realized he couldn't take her down because she was a strong woman.
That's what I'm saying.
In a red convertible Mustang with some big glutes.
That's what exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like that.
He was afraid he was going to get smashed between them cheeks.
And now she's going to always think that she... And, like, Jerry doesn't sound like a real name.
I know, and it wasn't even about her. It was just about Jerry's weakness.
It was about Jerry making her into a project. But she survived.
She's a survivor.
Right, but she thinks it's a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing. I like our take.
I like our take, too.
All right, there we go.
Except she's going to end up on a documentary in 20 years.
As
a much older lady.
As a survivor.
Sitting in the chair as a survivor, yeah.
Yeah. You'll be watching it in bed on the laptop.
By then, I wouldn't be able to handcuff myself. Let alone you or anybody else.
You don't handcuff me. Oh my god, the ghost of my mother.
No, I meant as a serial killer.
You are a serial killer?
No, but we were talking about that theme earlier in the podcast, if you would take the time to remember. Don't look at me like that.
That was so mean. Alright. My husband
is recording
again?
Yeah,
we are recording.
That wasn't even a break.
I don't care.
I didn't even get to pee.
You don't get to pee anymore.
Oh, who's the control freak here?
You were so mean. You were so mean to me. All right,
I have to beg on my hands and knees for the key to the bathroom.
Again, lies. All you do is lie.
What are you talking about?
I know your
town. It's a good thing that we live right down the street from the town's public restroom.
All right, Sean has a tell when he lies.
What's my tell?
Your eyes get bigger.
I can feel them being bigger
Get bigger.
I honestly can't.
That's really funny.
I'm just going to smoke weed and then my eyes will always be squinting and you'll never be able to.
Hey, our whole street smells like weed. Anyways.
Not from us.
No, but you can get a contact high walking down our street.
If you go down like a block, yeah.
So, this is not about contact highs or Tinder date dumping by
Or
Jerry.
Handcuffing. Your spouse to the bed.
It's about how to sustain a career as an author. And obviously this podcast is not how.
Not what?
How.
Oh, shit. We're supposed to be talking about authoring. I've been having too much fun.
I know. So anyways, it's a good question, right? And it's a question that a lot of authors and artists and pretty much everybody in the whole damn world.
Do you want to take a moment to collect yourself?
No, I'm mad at you.
You are. For what?
Because you're just so mean to me.
How was I mean?
It's recorded. It's recorded and it's at the
10, 11 minute mark. But you can't tell me what I said?
Because I repressed everything so we can stay here. You're not letting us do the podcast.
Oh, let's do it, baby.
It's all about you,
no,
you.
No, this is the... what's my name on our other podcast?
You.
The talent.
Jerky. Jerkers. Anyways, I don't even know what the point is.
That's why I said if you wanted to take a second and collect yourself, I know I have you frazzled.
You're going to make me cry. And stop coughing.
I'm so sorry, listener, to be coughing on the podcast.
Are you such a jerk today?
I'm going to take
like
over.
It's not trying at all.
Hey, listen.
Is it because you want to take over?
Anybody that's listening, if you think I was being a jerk, go ahead and send me $20, and then I'll know you think I was a jerk, and you support Carrie. It's all right.
You're so mean.
How am I mean?
Well, you just slammed your hand on the
On accident? I didn't do that on purpose.
You've got to be intentional.
That was my wedding ring. The choice you made.
I'm going to cry.
All right, listen.
No, let's just
We're supposed to be doing a podcast.
Let's just... Frig it.
Sean goes off the rails.
Yeah. Let's just... We can't talk about how to sustain an
author. Yes, we can.
No, we honestly can't.
Look at me.
Because
if you look me in the eye and hold your breath for 20 seconds, it'll be a brand new start.
No.
But look at me.
No.
Don't pull your sweater up over your head.
I don't care.
Do you want your guava?
I want my guava.
Jesus
Christ. I won't go any down in
Somebody
the closet.
Needs a nappy for
and
sure. Anyways,
all right,
let's roll.
Anyways.
See how serious you can get in the...
I can't. Just let me talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Grumble. So, anyways. Rise with Drew writes.
What are you just talking about?
Oh, my God. How to friggin' figure out how to be an author and sustain a career. And I don't honestly know. How's that? I don't No. Other than you got to keep writing and you got to be flexible with stupid ass industry. How's that?
Now, how's that for inspiration? Now you're talking, baby.
I'm so angry See, now.
All I got to do is get you mad and
stop moving in your chair. I can't.
I'm going to have to stand up, okay?
I told you that before.
Well, I don't like standing more than
2 seconds.
No, that's not true. Anyways, Rise with Drew writes, I'm going to read this. Creative careers are slippery. One-hit wonders abound, but fewer are enduring superstars, Stevens writes.
Whoever Stevens is.
And this level of commitment requires not just originality, but rather that ultimate expression of originality. The consistent reinvention of self, again and again.
I would like you to reinvent yourself. Long-haul husband.
Long-haul creativity isn't about a first act or a second act. It's a third and fourth and fifth act. It's that ultimate impossible, the infinite game, where the goal is simply to keep on playing.
There's a woman over on the creative pen.
Hey, wait. We need some emotion in your voice.
No. There's a woman over on the creative pen who gives a pretty long interview about author sustainability, and we have the link in the podcast notes. And she's pimping out her book, which may be one of the keys to sustainability. And she's been writing since 2014. And her name is Claire Thomas, right?
Yes.
And she's written books about this. And she uses a personality test to explain to writers about, like, what's blocking them.
Is that the one you were looking at last night?
Yeah.
Oh.
In the podcast, she says,
in our industry, we have a crisis of people being stuck and trapped because they've limited their options.
They got married.
Their subconscious mind has limited their options because of the patterns that it's functioning in as a default.
Repressing everything bad.
So they can't always see an aligned path forward when the industry undergoes swift changes, which it does very frequently. So I can give you an example. If you're an author who's what we call a type 3, that is the achiever.
That's in the Enneagram types.
Oh, that's right. What you were doing last night.
Yeah, I don't believe in my Enneagram type at all.
Then your core fear is lacking value or being worthless, and pretty much everything you do is to avoid confronting this fear or feeling like you lack value or are worthless if you're a 3. A pattern that almost always arises from this is the belief that they earn value through accomplishments and achievements. This can look like many books they have in their catalog, how high their books rank after launch, and how many subscribers they have on their email list.
So I'm not that type. I'm not an Enneagram-y, boo-boo-boo-boo-bee.
Not type 3.
Oh, no.
I mean, there must be more than one type, right?
There's 9 types, and I don't believe I'm the type that I got typed out as.
Well, I mean, that happens with a lot of, personalities, that's so general.
And the reason I don't believe it is because, like, there's all these questions on there. It's like, do you feel like you're different? And I, like,
don't. Doesn't everybody?
Yes, that's my thing. I'm like, well, everyone feels different, but I feel like I'm also very much the same as other humans.
Right? Oh, superior to most other humans, baby.
No. And then it's like, do you feel like you're original? I'm like, not really, but other people are always like, you're so weird and quirky. So I'm like, okay, I am. And so I got this, like, you're a number 4, which means, like, stupid shit.
Oh, you can't remember?
No.
That's too bad. Because
I repressed it. Because
I wanted to hear it.
I'm going
to
find it.
To see how I felt about it. You know what I mean?
Oh, because you get to tell me what I am.
Okay. I'll tell you what you are right now.
It's sensitive and withdrawn. Not sensitive.
Sweet, loving woman.
Dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental.
Okay. Only the first one and the last one.
I'm temperamental?
Well, I mean, not temperamental. Well, you know, you're like the short fuse part. Normally, you're like even-keeled, but if that keel hits the sandbar, woo!
So there are 9 different Enneagram types, just so that you all know. And you have to take a personality test to figure out which one you are. And then there's, like, wings and all this other stuff.
I'm the helper.
Number 1 is the reformer, where you're rational, idealistic, and you're principled, purposeful, self-controlled, and a perfectionist, right?
Maybe I'm number 1.
You're exhibiting so many elements of self-control right now. Number two is the helper, which is caring and interpersonal. They're demonstrative, they're generous, they're people-pleasing, and they're possessive. Yeah, you are too. Then number three might be the achiever, which is success-oriented, and they're pragmatic, and they're adaptive. They're into excelling and driven and image-conscious. That's the one that that woman just went through, like what some of the problems would be if you're an author, right? If you're that kind, like what blocks you. Number four is the individualist, which we just talked about, which is sensitive, withdrawn, expressive, dramatic, self-absorbed, and temperamental. To me, it just sounds like Tumblr. Number five is the investigator, which is intense and cerebral and perceptive and innovative, secretive, and isolated. Number six is the loyalist, which is committed, and they're kind of security-oriented. They're engaging, responsible, anxious, and superstitious. Number seven is the enthusiast, which is busy and fun-loving and spontaneous and versatile and distractible and scattered. Number eight is the challenger, which is powerful and dominating and self-confident and decisive and willful and confrontational. And number nine is the peacemaker, the easygoing, self-effacing type. They're receptive and reassuring, agreeable and complacent. So if I were to say, in the terms of my author career, I'm the peacemaker. I'm complacent. I am just reassuring. I'm agreeable. I'm like, hey, look, I made the New York Times bestseller list, but you know, whatever. So can you. Like, I don't want to be like tooting my own horn and doing all the cliches. Okay.
As a regular person, non-author persona, what would you see yourself as?
Number seven.
I have a follow-up for this, too.
I think I'm number seven. I'm like
so funny.
Scattered and distractible.
Because I was, as you read, reading down through these in my brain, I was going to be like, well, I can see you, a little, some of you in every one of those.
Well, that's the thing.
Except number nine.
You're such an asshole.
No, I swear to God, that's what I thought.
You don't think I'm easygoing?
No, you are.
You don't think I'm self-effacing?
Yes, you must. Look, listen, I think, I don't know, but yes, you are. You definitely are. You're very self-effacing and very...
What do you think you are?
I don't
want to talk about me. What do you think you are?
I don't know. Once again, I can fall in a lot of those, but not solidly. Well, definitely not solidly.
I think your serial killer part is making you the investigator.
I was going to say that, actually. Not about serial killer part, but I am kind of the investigator. I was just reading those, and I do fit in there.
Yeah, kind of secretive.
Isolated.
So.
My wife won't even give me the key to the bathroom.
But you can see, like, if you're, like, an isolating person who's, like, into researching your books, let's say, but not pimping them out, how that can make it harder for you to have a longer career.
So hard.
So.
Because these, I mean, it appears, I'm sure this isn't a true fact 100%, but it appears that people just really are, like, kind of egotistical and always talking about themselves and what they're doing as far as professional, you know, authoring and books and stuff.
Tend to sell a lot of books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they get little followings. And their books might be amazing.
Or they might be crap.
Absolute crap. Or absolute amazing.
Right.
But it doesn't matter because it's a cult of personality, right?
It is, yeah.
And so it's interesting to me that this woman hit on this stuff because it's really just taking psychology, delving deeper into, like, what it is that blocks you, what negative scripts you have in your life or whatever, right? And then how that also might be blocking your career as a creative. So if you want to be sustainable, you want to go after what's blocking your career.
That's right.
Like, I'm really bad at tooting my own horn.
See?
I'm really bad at writing erotica.
In like 10 sentences, you wrote this whole article. Just go after what's blocking your career.
No, it's what's wrong with your personality.
Cut it down to the core. Cut it down to, that your personality type block. Mm-hmm. That's holding you back.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you don't think I'm a peacemaker.
Oh, I do.
You're such a liar.
No, you are.
What do you think I am?
I don't know.
I said you were an investigator. Look at me. I gave you something. I said, look, that's you.
I give you something all the time.
Okay, what am I?
I think you're probably number nine.
You said I had elements of everything except number 9 until I said, oh, but number 9 is for my career. And then you said I'm number 9.
You're right. I did say that.
Oh.
Okay, how about 7?
You're just making up something.
No, I'll read it.
Because it's distractible and scattered.
Hey, you know what this is? This is going to be the longest podcast we've done in like a year.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
No!
We'll do dog tips in a second. Hold on. All right.
Jesus Christ. Dog tip for life.
Do you think that like people could study marriage by listening to our podcast?
Study marriage?
Like, how are they still married?
Well, it's because we appreciate each other.
Oh, really?
And we do things that are important in marriages, like saying, you know, I appreciate you and thank you for this and that. You know what I mean?
That's how we're still married?
Yeah, because we do all the good things and the bad things, but...
Remember that time when, like, we were at Pat's Pizza and Liz Graves was like, oh, she's fine. She won't listen. And if she does, she doesn't care because she said it. It's real.
Okay.
She was like, it's really interesting how you guys are so married yet argue all the time.
We don't argue.
I don't think we argue.
We rarely argue.
Although you did almost make me cry on the podcast.
That is, how many times have you almost cried today?
That was it.
No, that's not it.
Oh,
you almost cried about the construction workers in Maryland on the bridge.
Yeah, well, that's mm-hmm.
You probably saw a dog post you almost cried about.
I can't think about the construction workers because now I'm going
to
cry.
Well, don't think about them.
Well, you brought them up.
Well, forget about them. What do you call it? Repress. Repress that.
Okay.
I don't really have a dog tip for life.
The dog tip for life is what's holding you back.
Don't let anything hold you back.
Like, yeah. If you can't learn how to sit to get your treat, you got to learn how to get sit.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Just figure it out.
Figure out what's holding you back, man. And if you want to be a chihuahua, be a chihuahua.
No, don't be a chihuahua.
Be a chihuahua. There's nothing wrong with a chihuahua.
Some people love chihuahuas, but you know, they're just
but
like...
But those people are not strong.
No. I don't mind a chihuahua,
they
but...
They don't even have fur to get all over the house. It should be your favorite
dog. I know,
dog.
But my experience with chihuahuas is they're the, like, the as far as numbers, like, from highest to lowest, they're in the highest bracket for dogs that have ever been, like, when you're just, like, reaching out to pet them if they're, like, sitting on the couch.
You gotta let the chihuahua
they're,
come in.
They're very possessive.
Of the couch?
Of whatever they're possessive of.
So Pogi is a chihuahua.
Well, she has some chihuahua in her.
It's like 2%.
But she doesn't do that. Maybe with a stranger she might, if she was laying with me, you or I, and they tried
what
to
what stranger's
pet her.
Coming over when you're laying down with a dog?
I know, that's what I'm saying. We don't know. We can't test this theory. Oh, you're trying to say it's... Oh, yeah. Well, you know, she gets used to them eventually.
That sounds like...
Baby, when do you ever leave the house?
That's so mean.
That's not
you're
mean.
Like the meanest person.
But 90% of the time, you're with me when you leave the house.
Because I'm not allowed to go.
Christ,
anywhere.
I you don't even have a car. I took it away.
I loaned my daughter.
I did not take the car away.
And Sean took it.
It's
away.
On. It's on loan.
It's all Sean.
I'm taking it away when it comes back.
It's all Sean.
If it's still running.
Oh my god! And there you go. How to sustain your author career, not by listening to this podcast.
Well, maybe we might have freed up somebody's writer block.
Are you gonna burp?
I did already. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
Dude, you know.
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new...
Amazing Creepy Podcast is Dude No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take